Joseph Pasek of barnburner.ca, our daily podcast entitled Fired Up, and welcome to another edition of Ballin' here on barnburner.ca with Drew Ebanks of On Point Basketball and Rory Mitchell of the Mitchell Report Unleashed. Guys, a lot to talk about in the NBA world. Let's first start off with sort of breaking news that happened this week. Steph Curry gone at least 2 weeks. Drew, what do you think that that titles Golden State basically on a roll? Do you think that they're going to lose a few games because Steph Curry's not in the lineup?
Oh, they could. I mean, obviously, it's not something that you know, you hope happens, and you know his history with ankle injuries already. The good thing is, you know, the results came back negative, no structural damage, you know, in the ankle. But, man, just looking at that play, guys, it made me cringe. I watched it once, and then it kind of replayed a couple times, and I couldn't look at it. I had to turn away. You know, obviously, early part of his career, he had to deal with that. You know, he finally got to get over that, and now, you know, he has to deal with it again. I'll tell you, I've been through that. We all have, I think, in terms of playing sports. And those ankle rolls, man, I tell you, they say it's worse having one of those injuries than having a broken ankle because it kind of lingers, you know. It's really painful. Sometimes you get the stretching of the ligaments and tendons in there. And obviously he's been through it. You know, they put him in the boot and they had him medically, you know, kind of taken care of. But it's hard to see. I think, you know, the rest of the team, they're going to have to step up. I think Livingston, you know, who's been in a little bit of trouble himself, and I'm sure we'll talk about that, Sean Livingston, is going to have to probably step up in the absence. And hopefully, what is it, 2 weeks they're saying right now, you know, 2 weeks for that. And guess what, man? It's the Christmas game, man. Hopefully he's going to be back. We want to see that Christmas game go off between the Warriors and the Cavs, guys.
All right, Rory Mitchell, go ahead.
Well, you look at it like this, you know, him being injured for 2 weeks is not really a big deal this early in the season. If this was around April, then I'd be worried. What you're going to see happen now is the full unity of the team start to step up. You know, you got Durant, you got your golden boy, you know. He inherited himself on this actual team. You're going to expect big minutes from Klay Thompson. You're also going to see Nick Young show up and show face and show out. I'm not really too worried. 2 weeks for Steph Curry, take some time off. You get to get up early. You get to have an early Christmas, you know, vacation. And I expect to see him come back, hopefully, on Christmas Day when they go out there and try to stomp out the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Now, congratulations also this week to Steph Curry, who did 2,000 threes. Fastest man to do it. Drew, also, you're known as the Woj of Canada, Captain Canada, whatever I call you, but he had his upbringing here in Toronto with his father, Del Curry, playing for the Raptors. A little bit of Canada behind that, right?
Yeah, I mean, he, you know, probably the younger part of his life, he was here learning from his pops, who, you know, obviously everybody knows Del Curry was one of the greatest, you know, three-point shooters in NBA history. And not only that, just a great overall, you know, great overall guy his father was. And it's amazing to see that, you know, it's hard to say. I mean, is it genetic? Like, how is it that his father was that incredible of a shooter and Steph Curry is the same way? Like, it just seems, you know, something that it's not a natural thing to be passed on necessarily. You know, athleticism, I think if you can jump, if you can, you know, run a certain speed, I think that's something. But the mechanics of shooting, I think that's very interesting to know, you know, that could be transferred on from Dell to Steph. But obviously all those hours hanging around the Raptors, you know, being in the gym and having probably one of the best coaches in terms of shot form as your father definitely helped him. And, you know, I think Steph Curry, it's incredible to see what he can do off the bounce and what he could do from distance when he's shooting that three. I mean, he could be shooting from just inside half court, and he's still standing in his upright position. Shot form is still the same, regardless of if he's there, 30, 35 feet out, or, in mid-20s out, he's still going to shoot it. And when you look at Steph Curry as well, Rory, you can attest to this, the size, he's not a huge dude at all. He's not a big guy. He's not a, you wouldn't think of him as a strong guy. But Rory, you being in the physical, exercise segment of what you do, I mean, what is it about him? I mean, obviously he's got probably a core strength there. And again, the form is essentially the same no matter what. But what do you think it is that makes him, at that size, be able to shoot even from that distance, man?
Well, when you look at Steph, and a lot of people don't understand this, if you watch the 30 for 30, a little mini 30 for 30 about him and his career and stuff like that, when he was even in high school, right, they had to correct his shot. Bell had to spend at least all summer before his drafting year to go to either, Davison, where he actually played, but other teams were looking at him like Kentucky, and I can't remember exactly who else because they passed on him. They went to Davison. They had to spend the whole summer to correct his shot. It's core strength. You look at Steph now, it's remarkable to see what he does. He is the best shooter of all time. Sorry, Ray Allen. Sorry, Reggie Miller. Steph Curry, because where Steph is dangerous, you got to be able to pick up Steph Curry by the time he crosses half court. And if you don't, he can pull up from anywhere on the floor. We even see this guy shoot half court effortlessly, and it goes in. We see him shoot from 20 feet out, and it goes in effortlessly. Let's go back to what? Was it 2-3 years ago when he single-handedly downed 21 points against the Pelicans? What did he do? He single-handedly walked them back in the game. Like, in one of the clips, I think I have the picture on my actual computer that's right in front of me. He pulled up in front of Anthony Davis and two other guys and still hit the shot. And basically, his eyes were almost closed. I understand that the camera looked. But that's his best, and he's for real. So he'll be back in no time.
And here's this, guys, another thing. I mean, the fact that he's the fewest games to reach 2,000, I mean, 597 games, and you look down the list, you look at Ray Allen, Kyle Korver, Reggie Miller, Jamal Crawford, Jason Terry. I mean, Ray Allen, who I thought, before Curry came along, was the greatest shooter that I probably have ever seen, along with Reggie Miller. I mean, Ray Allen did it in 824 games. So that's 225 fewer games than Ray Jesus Shuttlesworth Allen. Kyle Korver, over 1,000 games, 1,015. Reggie Miller, 1,077. Guys, but obviously in Reggie Miller's day, you had more post play, so it wasn't exclusively where it's a guard, an offense that's predicated from the outside in. Even back in Reggie's day, it was more inside out, kick it out for threes. And you look at a guy like Jamal Crawford, 1,152, Jason Terry, 1,161. So, I mean, this guy's got a lot of years to go, guys. We're in for a treat to watch him continue to jack up and make shots from the outside.
To all the new listeners out there, you're listening to Ballin, featuring myself, Joseph Pasek of barnburner.ca, Drew Ebanks, Captain Canada, I call him, as a part of On Point Basketball, and Rory Mitchell, Mitchell Report Unleashed. We're going to talk a little bit of a sensitive subject. Ask the referees in the NBA about this. A few nights ago, this happened at KD, getting into it with DeMarcus Cousins. Also, you mentioned Sean Livingston having it out with a referee there. What's going on? And I don't want to equate it to, we're talking B-ball basketball, but, in NFL, the hits and the referees and everything like that. What's going on in the world of professional sports? Rory, you start us off this one.
Well, when you look at the suspensions that are happening and, these guys getting thrown out of games and whatnot, it all started with LeBron throwing his mouth guard. A lot of these guys have egos. I like to always say it's the hoodlum mentality. You can't take the hood out of some of these guys, right? They have, unfortunate poor upbringings and stuff like that, but you can't bellow your chest and, get up in the ref's face when you know what? It's a kid's show. You know, we got kids that are looking up to these NBA players that walk around and cheer out LeBron James's name, Kevin Durant's name, and whatnot. And when you see these goons on the court want to create mischief, this is not back in the days of Charles Oakley and Michael Jordan and when, you know, Kobe Bryant you got clotheslined by Rajah Bell. This is a no-fly zone now, right? So when we start seeing this happen, it's about time the refs say, listen, enough is enough. We're going to hit your paycheck, right? And you're going to be suspended for a game or two. And you know what? They keep carrying on this way. I think you need to up these suspensions to 5 games. And guess what? It takes money out of their pockets, and it doesn't put the fans in the seats.
Well, you know what? It's just hilarious. I mean, you make some amazing points there. You know, just to see what happened between Courtney Kirkland and Sean Livingston is just hilarious because, number one, you know, Livingston thought he got fouled. Okay, no foul. But then he goes to the ref, and instead of the referee backing up or walking away, Courtney Kirkland moves toward the player who's obviously pissed off and does not want to really, you know, hear anything from the ref at that point. And Livingston pushes his head forward and essentially a soft headbutt, and that's it. And for Kirkland, he's out for a week. He's not going to be doing games this week as well. And you know, Livingston gets one game, but it's an interesting dynamic that's happening not only to the sports world, the interaction with refereeing, but you look at even the Golden State Warriors specifically. I mean, they're the hunted right now, and it seems frustration is building up. You know, with Kevin Durant and obviously getting into it with Boogie Cousins. I mean, could you imagine that fight, guys? It would probably last about 3 seconds. Boogie would break him in half in about 1.5 seconds, or Durant would be scuttering and skipping right out of the arena with Boogie Cousins behind him. It's just weird to see the poise. And I think Coach Steve Kerr pointed out their composure, their poise right now for a team that's coming off an NBA championship. He's very disappointed. He's even disappointed in his own lack of poise right now. And the way that they're letting teams get under their skin. So I think for Golden State, again, now with, and we mentioned just, you know, a few minutes ago, the fact that Curry's out, this is really going to test their mettle going forward. Are they going to be able to handle not having their big gun, the best shooter ever on the squad? And is Durant going to stay in games? That's going to be an interesting question.
Well, that is an interesting question indeed, but let's get to another interesting question. At the beginning of the year, we were on here talking about the Cleveland Cavaliers. What's wrong with the Cleveland Cavaliers? What's wrong with LeBron James? And I was the one who said, nothing's wrong with the Cleveland Cavaliers. I think all of us said, nothing's wrong with the Cleveland Cavaliers. It's early. Now, as we record this, they have a 12-game winning streak. 12. Are they going to match Boston Celtics' win streak when the Celtics started off the year hot? And talk about LeBron James. I know arguably he's the best player in the NBA, but he has stepped it up these 12 games. Drew, wouldn't you say?
Man, I mean, the turnaround, I think the turnaround kind of started from Dwayne Wade. I mean, you know, obviously, you know, going to the bench, I think that kind of changed the mentality of this team, knowing that a guy that's got rings, has got MVPs, you know what I mean, trophy, you know, it's amazing because the tone has changed in the team. And you talk about LeBron James, and I mean, I got him on my fantasy squad. I'm not going to say, you know, he's not helping out my team. I believe he's number one in fantasy as well. You know, he's just absolutely destroying the league. 28 points, 7.9 rebounds, 8.5 assists per game. You know, what they've done over the last little while is nothing short of remarkable. And it's such a fast turnaround as well for them. Obviously, we said it before, it was early in the season, but I don't think we thought they would run off this many games straight, 12 games in a row. They're playing well. Guys like Kevin Love are really stepping up. And you know what? Guess what they got coming back soon, guys? Good old IT. And Wade still says, you know, he's cool. You know, he wants to stick around right where he is, come off the bench, and do his thing. So I think it's good for the league. Obviously, they're waiting to see what Derrick Rose and what's going to happen to him. But they're firing on all cylinders right now, fellas.
All right, Rory.
Firing on all cylinders. I have to go against the grain on this. Yes, they're 12 wins in a row. But when you look at who they've beaten, and I know Joe always likes to talk about right now this, and right now that. Let's talk about the real right now. A lot of these teams are not even playoff contending teams from last year or even going into this year, right? The only team right now, if I just look at this from an eye test, is probably Memphis and Charlotte are really the only teams that you could say is competition on that roster.
Yeah, but Memphis has been losing too. So I mean, they've been losing,
but I'm talking.
They're tough. Yeah.
Yes, I think you missed the point. I think you missed the point when I said that they are, a playoff team from last year. Again, this is what Cleveland's got to do, right? But let's hope they're not burning out a lot of energy before, playoffs start around. And, yeah, guess what? You can have this winning streak all you want. But, you come down to it, you play Sacramento, you play Indiana, you play Philly, Atlanta, the Lakers, Utah, Washington, Milwaukee, Chicago, and then you have to play Golden State. Christmas Day on ABC at 3 p.m. We'll see what happens, This is expected, but you know what? I'm not a believer yet. Where I want to see this team is, what happens when the full complete package comes out? What happens when IT comes back? How many shots are going to now be disrupted on the team? Who's going to be the floor general? Is it going to be LeBron bringing up the ball, which we know he's capable of, or is it going to be Isaiah Thomas that's going to, take away from a lot of these looks? Hey, you got to retool, regel, and refocus. The same.
All right. Do you believe you can fly? Do you believe you can fly, Rory? Because I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. I believe LaVar Ball can shoot the ball to the sky, but not in the basket. LaVar Ball, I'm tired. This show is called Ballin'. And the NBA this year is everything to do with ball. LaVar Ball, the Mullah Ball, this ball, that ball. Are you tired of the balls, Rory?
No, I'm not. And I can go on record right now and tell you about LaVar. What LaVar is doing is good. And the thing is, I've said it on my podcast before about LaVar, and I made it very, very clear out to the whole entire world. I said, listen, if you don't, and I don't want to sound and step on anybody's toes here, but if you never had a father figure in your life, you will never be able to understand what LaVar is doing for his son. And he's doing the correct thing. I know a lot of people may not like it.
Okay, what is he doing for his son?
What's he doing for which son? Are we talking about Lonzo? Are we talking about Lonzo?
He has all three sons. What's he doing for one of them is the NBA. One of them potentially is in the NBA. One of them now shoplifted in China, and Donald Trump got him out, and now he took him out of UCLA. What's he doing for that son?
So you believe that Donald Trump let his kid out? Are you really going to buy into the media hype and the media
propaganda? Listen, the day you could get Donald Trump here on Ballin' is the day we will find out the truth. But answer the question.
Okay, what has he done? He's providing a sense of independency for his kids. He's going against the
Well, hold on, hold on. Let me ask you a question. If both of his kids went to UCLA and now he took out the third kid for going to UCLA, is that an independency or is that sort of, punishment saying you did something wrong and you're not going to the school, no matter how good you
correction.
Are?
So correction, LiAngelo is actually the only one that's going to UCLA. The last kid is not even in the mix yet. He's still in high school, Joe. Here's the thing is what I'm trying to say is, he's going against the corporation. He did not want to start with Nike or Adidas or whoever to create ball shoes for his kids. Listen, the youngest kid has his own signature shoe in high school. Can you name another player that has had that? In high school, not even Michael Jordan himself had that. Come on.
So are you repping the big baller brand?
I'm all about the independency of LaVar.
Are you repping the big baller brand, Rory?
Absolutely, I'm repping big baller brand.
You're repping the big baller brand. So you have paid the $400, $450 for those shoes. Yes or no?
No. You never know. They're probably coming.
All right, enough of you. You're listening to The Ballin' here with Rory Mitchell, Mitchell Report Unleashed, Drew Ebanks of On Point Basketball, Joseph Pasek of barnburner.ca. Drew, do you want to counterpoint this question about LeVar Ball and the Ball family?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot to talk about. The Balls, we know what LeVar is trying to do. He's an ultimate salesman. He's something that's refreshing to a lot of people. The fact that he's bringing attention to himself more than anything, and a lot of pressure, as you mentioned before, being put on his sons. But for me, I think there's lessons in life, and there's no question the family's going to be rich, and they are. You know, they have the first son in the league. They're going to be rich beyond anybody's wildest dreams. But I think the selfishness of LeVar Ball is not going off well. I don't think it's something that you want young people to see. I don't think it's a message you want to put out there that you can do anything and not suffer the consequences. You know, we know what happened in China. They went around several stores. They were shoplifting. They got caught. They weren't in jail, as President Trump said. They were actually just detained. I believe it was in their hotel. So they weren't in jail. They didn't get them legitimately out of jail. But, you know, people worked at it. Whoever worked at it, we don't know if President Trump did. We don't know if LeVar Ball or, other people of high stature made the call. But in any case, he got out. But I still think there's a lesson to be learned. The UCLA had him on indefinite suspension, as well as the other two gentlemen and ballers. And that was right. You got to show and pay for some consequences for your actions. And I think
now let's talk. I'm going to talk about the one thing about the Ball family. What he is doing is brilliant in taking away attention from the Lakers, who are struggling, and specifically his son, who, let's face it, I don't know if he could throw a free throw or whatever, but when he came out of college, he's the greatest. He's going to be he can beat Michael Jordan. He's this, he's that. And then Magic sort of bought into it also. And now, what would you say, Drew, rate his first 20 games of the season?
Rookie. A rookie that's not terribly athletic or overly athletic, that's not the quickest. That's not the fastest.
And he's not the best rookie on that team.
And he may not be the best rookie on that team. And he doesn't have good outside shot mechanics. So that's compounded, because when you reach to the NBA, guys can close out on you quicker. Guys are longer. Guys are stronger. They're bigger. They're faster. So if you're behind the eight ball on some of those characteristics and physical attributes, that's going to be tough for you to overcome. He's a rookie. He's a tremendous passer. Vision is incredible. He'll be fine. He's going to have to grow into his body, and he's going to have to learn the tricks of the trade so that he can combat his lack of certain qualities and certain physical characteristics. But yeah, he's a rookie, straight, plain and simple. His father brought a lot of attention to him and hyped him up, but to me, he's still a rookie. And that many rookies, and you can look at the stats this season, a lot of them are up and down.
All right, so great segue about rookies here. You guys are always arguing your pick of rookie of the year, your pick of rookie of the year. So I'm going to give each guy 24-second shot clock here and tell me your pick for rookie of the year right now, and it will be the same maybe in April. But for right now, who's your pick for rookie of the year? Let's first start off with Rory Mitchell, Mitchell Report Unleashed. Go ahead.
I'm going to go with Jason Tatum just because of the product that he's put in right now, right? He's put into a system where there's no Gordon Hayward. Freak accident, Gordon Hayward busted up his ankle, right? Look at what Jason Tatum is doing as a young rookie expiring in the league right now. He's averaging 13.9 points so far, right? Total rebounds is 5.3, assists is 1.4 in 25 games played, right? His free throw percentage is 82.8%. And that's all I have to say. And I already know what Drew's going to come with, but I'm ready to rebuttal.
Ben Simmons is the rookie of the year right now. If you had to vote for it, it's not even close.
Why? Is it because he's the carbon copy of LeBron James?
No.
I gave you 24 seconds left to respond. He's got 21 seconds left.
It's got nothing to do with LeBron James. He's hitting 18 a game, 9.3 rebounds, 7.1 assists, almost a triple-double from a rookie. All right? That's all you need to know. 2.3 steals a game. What is it, rookie of the month? I mean, he's just doing things that you can't teach, Murray. You can't teach. And I'm a Jason Tatum fan. I'll tell you the honest truth. I thought, like, and I said this before, he should have gone number one. He's that good, and he's going to be an incredible player. But what I think is, at this point, Ben Simmons is far and away dealing with the league right now as a 21-year-old with 12 double-doubles and 2 triple-doubles already. 6'10 PG? My goodness!
All right, hold on. Let me ask you a question here. Rory, start us off with this. You talked about Ben Simmons. We're 20 games into the season, so a quarter into the season. Do you trust the process? What about the Philadelphia 76ers?
Do I trust the Philadelphia 76ers?
Do you trust the process?
No, I'm not going to trust the process, because at the end of the day, Washington sits at 8th in 8th seed, okay? And Miami sits at 11, the 10th seed also, too. I expect the 76ers start losing games and being back to the bottom feeder of the team that I know that they are. They haven't been hot since Allen Iverson and Andre Iguodala have been on that court. So I'm not
going You're going way back now.
All right, Drew, do you trust the process? Yes or no?
It's a slow process, and they're doing all right. You know, they're doing what they have to do right now. The main thing for them, I mean, and did you see Embiid's move on the baseline? Oh, against Alex Lynn? Oh, my goodness, the other day.
The same Joel Embiid, Drew, that has not been healthy for the last 3 years. Can we stop fabricating this story, please?
Hey, if he's healthy, he's fine. And just to go back to that rookie of the year, watch out for my man Donovan Mitchell right now, because that young dude is balling.
Who?
Donovan Mitchell. What do you mean, who? You're the host of this show, Joe. The Utah.
Me?
Fan.
I didn't say who. I did. Was Rory Mitchell? First of all, that brings up another good point. Drew E. Mangs of OnPointBasketball.com doesn't know who the host of the show is. I am Joseph Pasek of BarnBurner.ca, and the other guy who's complaining all the time is Rory Mitchell, Mitchell Report Unleashed. Welcome to Ballin. Now, let's get to another subject here. I want to talk about a surprising team in the East and a surprising team thus far in the West. Let's first start off with the Detroit Pistons. If I told you, Drew and Rory, that the Detroit Pistons will be fourth as we tape the ball in right now, fourth in the Eastern Conference after the quarter of the season, what would you say?
You're crazy.
Did you just call me crazy?
That's what
I'm saying. All right. Yeah. So sit in the corner while Rory throws some free throws. Go ahead, Rory.
Well, with Stan Van Gundy over there as a coach, and then acquiring Avery Bradley, and they got Stanley Johnson, which Stanley Johnson was at the OVO Bounce last year and put up like almost, 90 points. Let's be real here. Detroit's got they're a scrappy team. I don't know if they'll be able to keep this momentum up for the remaining of the season. Sometimes reality sets in, your team gets checked.
I like the Pistons. I think, again, Van Gundy's steering the ship correctly. They're getting wins, where they're supposed to get wins. I like their roster when you look at their depth chart right now. I love a guy like Tobias Harris. He's a solid small forward, power forward. And then you mentioned Stanley Johnson. He's a young player coming into his own. And I think the key for them to bring a heart, not only Reggie Jackson, who's playing better, playing like he wants to be there, but Avery Bradley, I think, brings a different dynamic, kind of an accountability, especially on defense. I think that's kind of what's changed with the Detroit Pistons. And I'm looking forward to seeing them kind of continue to do what they're doing. They're in a bit of a funk right now, though, 3 in a row down on the loss column. But imagine 3 losses in a row, and they're still 14-9 so far. So they're a pleasant surprise in the league, and it's good. I think it's great for the fans there. They've been suffering for quite a long time, and I hope they can continue to pull it together.
And then in Detroit, of course, they're playing in the new arena, Little Caesars Arena, the pizza. Now, let's talk about the Western Conference. Two teams that, you know, at the beginning of the year, you thought, wow, they made an amazing, amazing moves, and they're two games above 500, Minnesota T-Wolves, that's Rory Mitchell's team. And what about Oklahoma City Thunder? Or should the next topic we'll touch on, will it be the Seattle Supersonics again? Drew, your choice about Minnesota and Oklahoma.
OKC, I think there's a lot of growing pains right now. I think we've mentioned them before. They're just not in sync right now. You know, they've got guys who possibly think they're still alpha dogs. I mean, people are talking about, you know, Carmelo, you know, going to the bench and Carmelo kind of stepping back and understanding how to make a team better and looking across at D Wade, as we mentioned, the fact that he's sacrificing being a starter for what's good for the team. And then you see Russell Westbrook, you know, when he's got a PG-13 with him, he's not Melo. It's kind of like, what do I do? You know, when do I take control? They're still trying to figure it out, you know, and how it's going to work. But again, I think Melo is the key. If Melo realizes he's got to kind of pull it back, kind of be that third, fourth wheel now on the squad, I think they can do a lot better. But very disappointing so far when you think of the talent that's on that team. But again, still early. They can kind of get it together. I think they'll be fine, especially after the Christmas break.
Rory, Minnesota.
I'm going to talk about my Timber Puck. I'm going to talk about the Minnesota Timberwolves. Let's be real here.
Oh, did you call them Timber Pucks?
Hey, listen, it's basically, if you look at that team, they got Chicago Bulls players, do they not?
So they got a Chicago Bulls coach, too.
Exactly. So,
and they're playing like the Chicago Bulls.
Let's talk about the Minnesota Timberwolves because, you know what, they don't get enough airtime, and I know it's a Canadian basketball show. We got to talk about the Raptors. Andrew Wiggins is on this team. He's a high-prolific Canadian basketball player that is putting on for the city of Toronto, putting on for all of Canada. The U.S. is taking notice, right? And I know Drew is over there can start talking about the Canadian basketball talent that we have in the surrounding area, but let's be real here. The Timberwolves are for real. They're where they need to be right now. And I'm going to say this. When you got guys like Tyus Jones, our young point guard, stepping up in critical moments when Jeff Teague was hurt, hey, it's something special. They're coming for that Western Conference. I'm not saying they're going to win. But when they get into those playoffs and they beat one of them top-seeded teams, let's get back on the ball and show them discuss it.
All right, now listen, guys, we're taking a little bit of a break here now. Rory Mitchell Report Unleashed, he's a big, big video game fan here. I know it's the holiday season, Christmas just around the corner, Hanukkah next week, you know. Well, Rory, Drew, you know, it's about time you need to get the 8 presents each. But Rory, NBA 2K18, NBA Live 18, EA Sports, NBA Live, 2K Sports. For those people who are new and listening to the Ballin Show, which game to get?
Well, I'll say this right now. If you're looking to have fun, right, if you just want to have fun in the holiday season, you're drinking eggnog, whatever else you put in your eggnog, I know it's a G-rated show, get NBA Live for the fun factor. But if you want seriousness, authentic hoops, you want, you know, realism, you want to have fun creating a player and taking him to the park and playing on NBA 2K TV, you got to go with NBA 2K18. It's a true basketball sim. The authenticity, I can't even speak right now, the authentic movement of it is for real. You know, you can play with like players of like Andrew Wiggins and sit here and just take over games, you know, with Karl Anthony Towns. And guess what? Shoot threes with Jeff Teague. Wait, I'm still talking Minnesota Timberwolves basketball. But NBA 2K18 is the game to get for the holiday season if you're a true basketball lover.
All right. So he goes with NBA 2K18. Now, as we mentioned, that Drew Ebanks, is Captain Canada when it comes to basketball. So, Drew, tell everybody about some Canadian athletes up and coming in the NBA world and outside the NBA world.
Well, I mean, in the NBA world, we obviously spoke about Andrew Wiggins, who's coming up, but you also got to talk about a guy like Dylan Brooks, man, playing well over there for the Memphis Grizzlies. You know, they've had a rough stretch, obviously, what we talked about before, but he's getting 29 minutes per game. You know, the former Oregon Ducks, 8.3 points per game right now, 3.6 rebounds per game. And if you saw the game with the Grizzlies and Cleveland the other night, I mean, LeBron played well, but what I loved about Dylan Brooks was he played him on several possessions and played LeBron as tough as he could. Obviously, no one's going to stop him, but in that game, he tallied 9 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. I love his game. I love his demeanor. Dylan Brooks is definitely one of the Canadians to watch right now in the NBA. And you also have to point out guys like Jamal Murray, who's turning it around for the Denver Nuggets. And a guy that no one's really paying attention to that much, another Canadian, Trey Lyles for Denver as well, has been stepping it up. And he's almost like a Ben Simmons in a way too. Hasn't been able to show that ability at the NBA level, but he's done that where he's a point forward kind of player, can get it done off the dribble as well. So I'm looking for a guy like Trey Lyles to hopefully be able to carve out some playing time and do some damage as well.
All right, so as we close out this ballin' episode, and for the fans who are listening on Fox Sports Seattle, we're going to touch on Seattle basically approving the new Key Arena redevelopment. They want to have an NHL team, but what are your thoughts about possibly having the Seattle Supersonics or Seattle Sonics or Seattle, whatever they're going to call it, back in the NBA, and maybe, just maybe, Kevin Durant signs back with Seattle. Rory, your thoughts?
Well, if you're going to start doing expansion teams and stuff like that and bringing teams back to familiar hometown, you have to look at it now. Okay, yes, you put them on most likely the Western Conference, but then what are you going to do with the East? You have to have somewhat of a balance, right? Not something I'm really too familiar with because it's the first time of me hearing this. But it'd be good to see, you know what I mean? I think all major surrounding cities should have, you know, a basketball team that they can represent, that they can go to these games, cheer on their favorite players and whatnot. But, you know, to kind of piggyback off of what you said, it'd be nice to see Canada actually get another Canadian basketball team. What do you guys think about that?
Vancouver, B.C. B-City, I don't know.
All right, hold on. To basically say, no way Jose is Canada going to get another basketball team. Sorry, Captain Canada. No way. Toronto is the team for Canada here. Toronto is the, you know, California, New York, Boston, whatever, of the NBA Canada here. So there's no way Canada is going to get another basketball team. Although Rory's right, I hear, you know, they want to expand. Well, if they're going to move Seattle to Western Conference, who's going to move to Eastern? I have done some digging up here. And for the people who are listening in Hartford, there's a new Hartford Convention Center who has about 18,000 to 19,000, the Hartford Wolfpack AHL hockey play out of there. So, you know, Hartford, very close to Boston. It could be a team there also. Drew, what do you think? And, you know, people in Seattle, you know, Vancouver's close to Seattle. They had a team in Vancouver. I don't think they're going to get one back. But what do you think of the Seattle Sonics possibly coming back to the NBA?
Well, I mean, the fans, you have to feel for those fans when they lost their squad. In the city of Seattle, they have some great basketball players that have come out of that town, you know. And the thing is, they have a big market. They're the number 14 media market in the U.S., and they're the only top 25 market that doesn't have an NBA or NHL team. They're looking also to bring an NHL franchise there possibly in the future. So I'm for Seattle. I mean, I think that's a great basketball town. You know, they have some great college teams as well, but they want the NBA and they want to feel like they're a big team. So I think, you know, memorandum of understanding of this new group that's putting together, you know, $600 million remodel plan for the Key Arena, I think that's a step to try to, you know, bring a team back to Seattle. So it's going to be interesting. We obviously hope that Vancouver could get a team, or maybe even Montreal. There was talk about that happening at some point down the line, but you never know. I would think they would want to add a couple teams if they were going to add teams to the league, and we'll see what happens. But, you know, we're voting. We're hoping V-City can get something, and because they have some tremendous basketball fans out in Vancouver as well. So that whole Pacific Northwest is ripe.
All right, 2 points here. I'm going to say this. Canada is going to get another basketball team. It is going to, I changed my mind. Canada is going to get another basketball team. It's in the WNBA. Toronto will have a WNBA team by 2020, put it that way. Now, Seattle also, since we're Canadian, I got to throw this out. Seattle looks like they're going to get an NHL team. That brings an Eastern Conference team, Quebec City, to the NHL. Also, let's throw this out here. You know, a lot of people have talked about the NBA being fantastic, the NBA TV, new sponsorships. NFL has deals for TV and all that. How big do you think the next NBA TV deal, Drew, can be?
Well, I mean, that's an interesting question because I mean, when the deal that's on now, when I look at the scope of that, man, what, $24 billion or whatever it is?
Yeah.
I mean, that's close to the NFL deal. I don't know where it can go from there. I mean, I don't know. Is there that much more demand? I know the sport's growing tremendously, you know, but you see some of the networks now are starting to lay off and things are happening because these deals are so monstrous. But I think if they can maintain where they are or be in the ballpark, I think they'll be fine. But, man, the money that's thrown out there and these players, these Supermax contracts, the NBA, if you're a star in the NBA in the last 5 years, you picked the right time to be born, my friend.
Now, Rory mentioned the Raptors, Canada's team, NBA, and we did not talk about the Raptors because you know why we did not talk about the Raptors? Because name another team in Canada, NBA. The Raptors are the best team in Canada in the NBA. Correct, Drew?
You've got to like the fact that Kyle Lowry is now starting to come into his own. DeMar, he's doing his thing. DeMar's being Debo. You know, he's playing well.
I have breaking news, Drew. Breaking news. I'm sorry about this. Breaking news. Your thoughts. Drake, the global ambassador of the Toronto Raptors, may be replaced by Nicki Minaj.
No way. Come on. What are you talking about?
Yep. According to Rory, your thoughts. Nicki Minaj.
Which my thoughts. We don't even know what to think.
This is not a hip-hop show. And it's
all
not.
Right.
Let me
fans, and especially new fans who are listening to this, this has been Ballin. I'm Joseph Pasek of barnburner.ca. Check it out, barnburner.ca. Also, check out our daily podcast entitled Fired Up. We've got daily podcasts, daily shows, daily articles, daily video. Check it out, barnburner.ca. Now, Captain Canada, Drew Ebanks, On Point Basketball. Tell them how they can reach you.
OnPointBasketball.com. And at On Point Basketball, Instagram, Facebook, On Point Basketball, YouTube, On Point Basketball, and Twitter at Drew Ebanks. Thank you, guys. Appreciate all the support out there. Keep it up and keep it going.
Rory Mitchell Report Unleashed. Rory, tell everybody, what is the Mitchell Report Unleashed?
The Mitchell Report Unleashed is an exclusive podcast home-brewed by yours truly, myself, Rory Mitchell. You guys can find it on SoundCloud, The Mitchell Report Unleashed. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Rory Mitchell searching my name. The Twitter handle is RoryEGN. And last but not least, episode 65 will be coming out very, very soon, featuring On Point, On Location himself, Drew Ebanks, like you've never heard him before. I suggest you tune in.
Drew Ebanks, On Point Basketball, On Point Location, episode 65 of the Mitchell Report Unleashed. Drew Ebanks, onpointbasketball.com. Myself, Joseph Pasek, barnburner.ca. Check us out on Twitter, the Barn Burning. Thanks a lot, guys.